Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to Owner podcast. It's great to have you with us. We really appreciate our listeners. I'm Jesse Tyler. I work at Hypertherm, a global manufacturing and technology company that is almost 2,000 owners strong. I'm fascinated by ownership culture and how being an owner impacts the daily experience at work, what it means to the individual owner. The goal of the podcast is to have owner-to-owner discussions about a wide range of ownership experience and culture topics to bring more insight into the individual ownership experience. Where there's a lot of we and us used in the ownership world, this is about the individual, the impact on their work experience, what some of their skills and experiences are that they can share out, and their journey to ownership, what it feels like, and welcome a variety of guests. We largely focus on rank and file, frontline, essential workers that build, install, ship, and receive the products. A favorite element of employee ownership is how those that are not usually included in wealth building, job quality, and security get to participate, and they're the biggest beneficiaries. So it's incredibly exciting to have friends that work here at Hypertherm in shipping, machine operators, assemblers, technicians that are going to, with a variety of choices to support their shares they're earning, they're going to be able to retire well above average compared to other folks. So it's just really exciting to see that combination of wealth building and quality and security. So as with almost all of the owner-owner podcasts, I meet the guests when we start recording, and that is the case today with three folks from Stone Age. So I'm just going to give a quick introduction to them and then let them tell a little bit more themselves. So really happy to have Mike Irish here, order fulfillment team leader. He's been with Stone Age for 8 months. Welcome aboard. Kelsey Woodson, senior digital marketing and campaign specialist with 2 years. And Bill Ayers, fabricator two, 5.5 years. So we got the whole kind of the value stream. And it's a lot of fun in our conversations. We just did a series of women in manufacturing, and we went through the value stream of Hypertherm from design to sales, build. So I think it's great that Stone Age, I appreciate you all taking time out of busy, because you're so successful, very, very busy days, to be able to spend a little bit of time talking ownership. So if you're game, Mike, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself? We'd love to hear kind of what you do and maybe some of your career path to Stone Age.
Yeah, so I've been with Stone Age for about 8 months. I work in order fulfillment. So, you know, we're responsible for, you know, maintaining inventory accuracy and getting all the orders out every day. So yeah, I moved to Colorado in 2019, summer out. Before that, I kind of had a various career path. I did inventory management, kind of consulting work for the food manufacturing industry for about 7 years. After that, I did a little bit of work in the construction industry as a subcontractor and, you know, countertops and cabinetry, working on the floor all the way up to estimating and project management.
Very nice.
So, yeah.
Very nice. We'll dig into your ownership experience next round as we go through. Kelsey, can you share a little bit more about yourself and what you do?
Yep. I've been working in marketing for about 10 years. I started in community building and the digital ecosystem, now that we know, like, as social media platforms, way back when, before it was, you know, monetized. And I've been able to kind of grow with those and progressed into digital advertising and segmented marketing. And prior to Stone Age, I worked in the music industry and the outdoor industry, and then landed this incredible job here in Durango, Colorado. So
that's great. I appreciate the insight. It's fun to hear some of the backgrounds for the guests and what different experiences and superpowers they bring into their employee-owned companies. Bill, can you share a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I've been a welder fabricator for over 30 years. 27 years I worked for Caterpillar. We were a implement manufacturing company. We built buckets and blades and all kinds of heavy equipment. And now I started out there it was with a small company, and then they were bought out by Caterpillar and it turned into a big company. Now I'm back with a small company again and an employee-owned one, and it's been great.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, it's nice to hear, see a smiling face when you talk about an acquisition. Not everybody smiles after that, and it can be very tough. So acquisitions in the employee ownership world usually have a lot of smiles, but unfortunately, not everybody's had that experience. So just so you're aware, just for you to know a little bit more about Hypertherm, so we're the world leader in plasma, and we're growing quickly in water jet cutting. So serve a different part of the market, but we've probably bumped into each other, and a lot of your cleaning effort on pipes and other things, there's a high likelihood a lot of that was cut with Hypertherm. So it's kind of fun to think, and then Caterpillar uses Hypertherm to cut steel for their machinery as well. So let's jump into ownership, starting with Mike. You came to, 8 months ago, you came to an employee-owned company that's got quite a reputation, a momentum, incredible growth, success, great social media presence, all of that. And when you got your job at Stone Age, how did you start to talk about your experience with ownership to your friends and family? I'm going to ask about friends and family, but then we'll talk about sort of external folks first. So just close to home.
Okay.
What was your, what did you share?
Well, for me, it was really kind of a culture-based experience. I mean, that was the biggest piece that I noticed. And that's one of the reasons why I sought out coming to Stone Age as well, is that whole culture that is created here, where it is really a truly like a teamwork environment. And that's kind of, you know, been my big focus from the employership side of things. I've worked actually for an employee-owned company before this as well, but it was the opposite end of the spectrum. I mean, as far as, you know, what you'd want in a workplace environment, you know, and then the culture really was the big factor there. So that to me is a big part of it, you know, coming to work every day and knowing that everyone is really there for the team and everyone's there to kind of, you know, help you out. I mean, there's never a moment where, you know, hey guys, I need a hand and you know, I'm going to have multiple options for people to come and help me. It's not, you're never on your own with a problem. And that's one of the fantastic things about being here. As externally, that's really, you know, my big kind of sales pitch is coming to work every day and enjoying the people you work with and the work that you do.
So just a quick follow-up question. Do you think your friends and family see a difference in you when you talk about work since you've been working at an employee-owned company that sounds like a better fit for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's all smiles versus, you know, the exact opposite of that previously. The culture has been a huge shift from the previous one to here, where it's like, you know, oh, everything's everyone's fault versus, you know, everything is accountability and we're all here pulling our own weight to do, you know, what we know we need to do to get the job done. And then some, you know, I mean, none of us. We all know and share in that end goal that, you know, that extra 10% makes a difference at the end of every day.
That's great. That's great. Thanks for the insights. Kelsey, how do you talk about ownership to your friends and family, just those closest to you? How do you describe your experience as an owner?
Yeah, well, I noticed that, you know, when talking to friends and family that, you know, employee ownership or ESOP isn't something that's commonly known, especially kind of in the US. I'm not sure if it is worldwide, but a way that I can talk to them that's relatable to them is first off telling them, you know, like we get employee stocks, which is an incredible, like something that they can relate with, like, wow, more money besides your 401k. The other thing that I like to do is like, tell them about the experiences of how the company has cared for me as an individual more than like just any other company would. Last year, I had a child and she was 2 months early. And so it was like a crazy experience, but the way that Stone Age handled it and the way that they were there to provide me support was something that I don't think every person gets, not every company. And I do think that part of like the employee ownership is the way that they react and take care of their, and it's super incredible, very empowering, and makes me want to come back to work and work even harder for them every day, you know?
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Bill, how do you talk about ownership with your friends and family? You shared that you had a long career, small and large companies. I'm curious to hear what you share when you talk about it.
Yeah, you know, it's the work environment, you know, total, complete turnaround from where I was at before. And it's just like Mike said, it's a teamwork thing. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows that they contribute, you know, that what you're doing is going to contribute to that bottom line. And yeah, for me, I tell them, for me, it's been a game changer. It's totally changed my attitude, you know, at work and at home. And I love it. You know, it's been great. It's been pretty awesome.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. So I want to twist a little bit and think, okay, so with friends and family, now when you talk about ownership with customers or anybody who's not a fellow employee owner, what are some of the things you share and talk about? And I'm asking this because sometimes when we have, you know, brand new coworkers, and we've heard other ESOPs say the same thing, is sort of getting your hands around this ownership thing and sort of taking the long view, trying to figure out the culture, trying to figure out the differences. So just sort of curious, like, you know, the four of us are owners talking ownership. What do you share? What do you talk about when you're customers or just other folks out in the world who might not know, you know, to Kelsey's point, might not know anything about ownership? What do you talk about, Bill?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I kind of start out with the ESOP. I kind of start talking about how each employee has shares of the company and actually owns shares of the company. And, you know, and it's like that, you know, it's, I kind of try to explain it where everybody owns a little piece, you know, you have your own little piece of the pie. And usually people will be, it's like me when I came here, I had no idea that there was employee owned companies, and it took a little bit for me to get my head wrapped around it. But that's kind of how I kind of explained it to myself, was like, you know, I have a little slice of the pie here.
That's great. Kelsey, what about for you with customers or anybody, you know, in your realm outside of fellow owners? How do you talk about employee ownership?
Yeah, I think the ESOP is a good place to start. And then I kind of just work into like the benefits, because I think when it's an employee-owned company, like, well, and I don't know if this is true for every employee-owned company, but I know that Stone Age goes above and beyond on benefits, like, before. And that, I think, is part of more of the mentality of employee-owned versus just like the hard, you know, the hard tangible items. But like, you know, before COVID, we had on Thursdays, you could get a massage. Like, we had that set up for our employees. Like, we have a gym. Like, you can have pet insurance if you wanted. Like, there's all these different, like, incredible benefits that our HR team has put together. And I do think it, because we are an employee owned company, that they want to provide those additional things that help kind of enhance our life.
That's great. That's great. Mike, for you?
Yeah, I mean, the same things as well. I mean, I'm actually talking from the massage room right now. It's quite nice. No, but yeah, the same things. I mean, it's the ESOP as well. I mean, I'm newer, so I don't have the depth of, you know, every day how it's going to affect me. But it is an extra security blanket where, you know, my parents will never be able to retire, as best as that I know. And I can already think about that now. I can already kind of, you know, I can be comforted. I not only have the 401k, but I have those shares that I know I can, you know, I can sleep more comfortably knowing that my family is going to be taken care of, and that I don't have to, you know, grind every day until I die. So that's a big benefit. There's more excitement about what we do as a result of, you know, having that piece of the pie, and you know, that extra, it gives you more ambition to learn more about what we're doing and why we're doing it, and really care, instead of just kind of coming to work every day and just, you know, going through the steps and the paces of that, you know, you feel like you're supposed to.
That's great. Thank you for that.
Mention real quick, I think one other thing that I don't know that we've mentioned it, but the profit sharing that we get on an annual basis, like, I think when we're seeing what the numbers are for each month, and it's like our success is directly tied to that profit sharing. And for me personally, you know, like, I'm a little bit younger, so the retirement part, I'm like, okay, I've got like some time to start until I start thinking about that. But the profit sharing piece for me is like an immediate thing that I can start, you know, make sure that I can contribute to as well.
Yeah, that's great. So at Hypertherm, we have the yearly profit sharing. And then we have the shares. So we talk about ownership as really the daily experience, job quality and security, equity. Profit sharing is short-term reward. Shares are long-term reward. And so we regularly hire very talented high school graduates that don't find college in their path. That's actually getting more common now. And so we've gained some incredible talent that's 19 years old, 18 years old. And so to sit them down on their first day, when you come into Hypertherm, I do the onboarding. The first thing we talk about is working at an employee-owned company is going to be different. And we hope that you love it. For a lot of people, it takes some getting used to, because people haven't always had great employment experiences. And a great employment experience doesn't mean it's easy. As soon as people pick up on what you're good at and what your skills are, they're going to be nudging you to help make the company better. And for some, that takes a little bit to get used to. So to talk about that with an 18 or 19 year old and say, oh, by the way, if you make some choices financially, and we offer some training around general finances to help them, and with your shares, you could have a great retirement. It's like, listen, this is my first job. We have people come in. I had a couple of people we hired 2 weeks ago who were in their 30s who said, I've never had benefits at work. Can we slow down a little bit so I can pick them? And so that's a common thing. And if you're not regularly around new hires, it's easy to sort of be used to what you're used to and not have that sensitivity. But yeah, one of the great challenges for ESOPs, for any listener who has a solution, is how do you bring the shares to life for somebody in the first quarter of their career? Because it's reasonably a little bit hard to get your head around. And then you see the folks that are ready to retire, and boy, they are the best advocates for shares and ESOP, the power of ESOP. So, all right. So I want to make this kind of personal. So we've talked about sort of with friends around friends and family. This is the third ownership question, really about you. So if you respond with, to me, employee ownership means you can say we and you can talk about Stone Age. That's okay. That is a healthy default when talking to other owners. I am trying to get it to just, even if it's just a shorter statement from each of you, is what does ownership mean to you as an individual? Mike, do you want to kick us off? What does ownership mean to you?
Yeah. So it really means that I have a direct day-to-day effect on my success. I mean, I'm really, in the end of the day, I'm accountable for my own success here. And you know, I'll wait to go back on the teamwork side of things here for a bit. But it really does kind of land back to that culture. The way that we have things set up here with our culture and our ownership, you know, mindset, you know, everyone's looking out for everyone else. And like, you know, if there's an opportunity for you to be more successful, or if you're ambitious and you want to learn more, there's a number like of, you know, you don't really have an end to the amount of people that are going to lend a hand and teach you what you want to learn. But for me, I mean, you know, coming today, you know, knowing that I'm accountable for my own success, that it comes down to me and, you know, giving me that confidence that there's security in knowing that I'm not just working for the man to make sure that, you know, he's got his vacation taken care of. You know, I'm working for my own vacation. I'm working for my family and for our security personally, you know, and that is nice. It's the benefits of, you know, being your own owner of a small company with the security of a larger company that, you know, that'll take care of you.
That's great. Thank you. Kelsey, what does ownership mean to you?
Yeah, well, we here at Stone Age, we have the own it mindset. And one of the things that really resonates with me of our values is self-leadership. And I think with Stone Age, it's not just like take your job and make sure you get it done. It's like do, you know, think outside the box, try to do something different. And what I love about Stone Age and what ownership means to me is that like I'm allowed to kind of create my own experience. I don't need to just work with frame or like, you know, there's the like the ability to kind of work outside the box. And, you know, if you come to the table at Stone Age with something that might be new and exciting and something we've never done before, they allow you to do that. And I think that's part of the ownership is like this innovative kind of, you know, out of the box thinking. And for me, that's kind of what ownership means, is just being able to have the flexibility and liberty to create things. And then I think another part of that is just having ownership of the success for your teammates and employees. Like I find that my teammates and employees I consider them my family. And so for me, I don't want to let them down. And that's part of ownership, is like being really responsible for what you're supposed to be doing so that you don't let others down.
That's great. Thanks. Bill, what does ownership mean to you?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I have a say in how my job gets done. You know, I have a voice. And like Kelsey said, you know, self-leadership, you know, they give me the freedom here to do my job. And I'm always looking for ways to improve, you know, improve processes, just anything I can do to eliminate waste, anything I can do to make things better from a quality standpoint, you know, quicker, anything I can do to help contribute to that bottom line. That's kind of my mindset. And that's what it instills in you, I think, is that mindset of continuous improvement. And that's, yeah, you know, I love that stuff. So
that's great. A regular question. So I'll tuck it in now since you brought up continuous improvement. And you can tell I'm smiling asking this. Are you going to be the first guest to be able to convince the audience that you can talk about employee ownership without talking about continuous improvement mindset? Any takers on the throwdown? Is it possible? Seeing all shake your head.
It's something we talk about every day. It's hard to separate that.
Yeah. Common themes are leadership, values, and continuous improvement mindset. So playing with that a little bit. So again, unfortunately, too many hardworking folks have had unpleasant prior working experiences. Somebody's new at Stone Age. They're getting their bearings. You're being very patient while they get used to the intensity and pace and the ownership thing. And they happen to say, whoa, I'm not helping you with that. That's not my job. How would that fly at Stone Age? I love watching I wish I'd done a screenshot of your faces. If somebody wants to volunteer, how would you handle that at Stone Age if somebody said that?
You know, that just doesn't work here. You know, we're shorthanded right now in the shop, and I fill in wherever I can, you know, and I look at that as being an employee owner. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help us through until we get more people hired. And that's part of it for me, an employee owner. Part of being an employee owner is you have to be willing to take on multiple responsibilities when it's needed.
That's great. Yeah, it's the more you can cross train when staffing gets tight, the more you can be a self-healing organization. So it's great you're stepping up. And at the end of the conversation today, I'll give you each an opportunity to aggressively pitch to potential future coworkers about Stone Age and why it's great to work there and why they should join you. So Bill, starting with you, if you had to describe ownership in three words, what three words would you share with our listeners?
I would say own it together. That would be my three words. Own it together. Everybody together. We've all got one goal, you know, and that's success, great. Success of the company.
I like it. You're the first guest. And I think I've asked around 1,000 people that question. You're the first one to give a great brief sentence instead of three different words. That's great. I'm making a note. Own it together. Love it. Nailed it out of the park. All right, Kelsey, he set the bar high for you. What are your three words?
Well, now I want to do a sentence because after he did it, like all I can think of a sentence is. So at this point, that's what I have. But I guess it would be just never give up. Like part of the ownership is just always trying and continuing.
Yeah. I hear shades of your CEO, who is a hero of mine in the employee ownership world. Your shades of that, her voice coming through. That's awesome. Mike, what three words describe ownership for you?
Yeah, so I would say accountability, teamwork, and flexibility. Those are kind of day-to-day everything.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. That's great. So specific to Stone Age and culture, what is one thing that you feel Stone Age does really well on ownership culture or communication that you'd want to share? So the question is, to sort of set you up for this, is how to have an ownership team or committee or whatever the phrase would be. Pacific Steel customer that we interviewed for this podcast before, they have the coolest name I've heard yet is Ownership Igniters. That's what they call our ownership group. So thinking of culture, how to summarize it, how to help other ESOPs. This is really just anybody listening that could maybe pick up a tip from the three of you for their own ESOP. What's something that Stone Age does well that you would want to share out around ownership culture? Mike, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just something we do really well. I think it really begins as well with our hiring processes here. It's not just HR and like management, but we all as a team get to interview each new candidate that comes in and see if they're a fit with the team, really. I mean, that's kind of the last straw. I mean, are you gonna work well and gel with us? You know, do you have the personality that fits? I mean, and that's something like just as step one that I found has helped really well. I mean, everyone that comes in hits the ground running. I mean, it's the sense of humor as well is something that, you know, is constantly there throughout the whole day. And it makes work that much easier. I mean, we already know that, you know, someone's going to come in, they're going to work hard, they're going to be a good teammate, and we're going to have fun with them every day. And so from the first step, I think that's been something I found that was really unique to Stone Age and that I really enjoyed. And that does cultivate a culture where you know that these people are going to contribute.
That's great. That's great. Kelsey, what about for you?
Yeah, what I love about Stone Age, and I didn't kind of realize until maybe a few months in, is that there's this like candoredness, and we've had actual like work sessions within like our entire company goes on radical candidness, transparency. And it's like really exciting for me because that's who I am naturally. So like to be able to kind of cultivate that into our culture where we can be able to talk to people openly about hard conversations, I think that provides a stronger work relationship, that provides a stronger foundation for our company and our culture. And that to me is like such a great thing about Stone Age, is just having kind of this like the ability, like those are things that you have with friends and family, right? So to have that in a work relationship makes it just easier to cultivate a stronger relationship.
Thank you. Thanks. Bill, what's something that Stone Age does well around ownership culture that you want to share?
Hey, you know, I think it's just to give an example, during COVID, the ownership committee actually came around, and the people that were coming to work every day, the people that were the essential frontline people that were coming in every day, they give everybody a stipend for new shoes.
Nice. And
just, you know, little things like that, you can tell, you know, from the founders on down, you know, from John and Jerry on down, you can tell they truly care about people and they care about people's well-being. And, you know, and like you said, our CEO, she's awesome. I mean, she's very approachable and very down to earth, and I'm comfortable talking to her about anything. I mean, she's just that approachable. So I mean, that makes all the difference.
That's great. Yeah, and what we're talking about with during the last couple of years with essential workers, you know, for us, we had hundreds of people on site that try to we're lucky to be feeding the industrial economy, and it needed to come back with partly our help with cutting steel, cutting stone, rubber, plastic, maybe like that. So we had a lot of folks, and there are a lot of feelings about it. Some of the folks that could work at home initially were needed to do that, and then the, you know, the essential workers on site. And we were reminded very quickly that going out to the machine, going out to the warehouse, going out to where they are, and just connecting and saying, how are you doing, can make a world of difference beyond whatever stipends. And like for us, we brought lunch to the different satellite buildings. We have 10 buildings on our campus in New Hampshire and 2 cafeterias. And so it didn't work for them to come, so we brought them lunch and said, how you doing? And it was amazing to see the response. So it's neat to hear a little bit of that with the Stone Age experience. And I hope you come out of this time roaring busy and going forward that way. So we like to ask all of our guests about their EO aha moment. And so your employee ownership moment, not when you thought it was, that's kind of cool, that sounds kind of neat, before you really got into it, but it's really that aha moment when for you it felt like it was going to be a game changer. Mike, can we come back to you and hear your EO aha moment?
Yeah, so mine's kind of a recent one too. I was, you know, talking about employee ownership with another coworker, and it was something that he'd mentioned that resonated with me quite a bit. You know, typically we associate, you know, our job title with kind of who we are, and it's part of how we present ourselves as an individual. And I hadn't realized this, but he said, you know, at Stone Age, that kind of gets washed away. You're an employee of Stone Age, and you're not your job title. You know, I'm not an order fulfillment team member. You know, I'm a Stone Age employee. And that's kind of been, you know, it's something that you absorb right away without realizing. And that just kind of was a good one.
That's great. And it's fun to hear from somebody who's been part of this for less than a year, because we don't expect that everyone's had that moment yet. So it's great to hear that early in your ownership journey that you're smiling and have already had that aha moment. Kelsey, for you, what was your EO aha moment, please?
You know, the biggest thing that I just go back to is like when I went into the hospital early and I was in the hospital with my daughter for 8 weeks, and the way that the Stone Age community just like kind of surrounded me with love and was able to support that whole journey without, you know, any type of like, well, you know, there's this work that needs to get done, or, you know, any type of thought about like my job be compromised at all. That was for me just like one of the biggest, most profound moments that I've had at work. And has just like, then there's just been a multitude of just additional moments like that that have like continued on. So for me, that really was one of the biggest moments that like, I was like, wow, this is like unlike anything I've ever experienced before.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Bill, for you, what was your EO aha moment?
I guess mine would have probably been when when I was at the first shareholders meeting, and they were going over the ESOP, and they were going over what it had done the year before and in prior years, and just looking at the growth, and then sitting there and thinking, man, this has a lot of potential. You know, I'm probably looking at retiring within the next 10 years. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, man, this is going to actually be possible, you know? And that's what kind of got me excited about it, was just, but that's when it kind of clicked for me, like, wow, this is huge.
That's great. Yeah, it's fun to hear when it comes to life, and it can come in different ways. So we always love to hear about the EO moments. So I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit more just about what your company does. What we like to do is kind of promote, you know, work employee owned, by employee owned, and along those lines. You have a critical function, what you help a part of the economy that doesn't get a lot of light. So I think you've done a wonderful job talking about your own experiences and your blatant camaraderie and care that is clearly your norm, which is wonderful to spend this time with you. But I do think you know, Stone Age plays a critical part of, I think of, if it's okay to say it, sort of the hidden economy. So I want to give you guys each chance to share a little bit more so our listeners can learn and really appreciate that beyond the ownership journey and culture and winning company, the importance of Stone Age. Mike, can you share a little bit of insight?
Yeah. So, and your question is more geared to what we do, right?
Yeah. Just about what Stone Age does. You know, right. When you're talking about, you work at a company that does something very unusual, and you talk about it, just for example, like what do you share about how you impact the economy?
Well, yeah, you're right. So I didn't know much about the function of the products that we sold before I came. And one of the cool things is that we've had some classes with, you know, some of the people in the company that have kind of explained, this is why we're a unique company, and this is what we do, and what we do is important. So we create products that make dangerous operations safer. So in the high pressure cleaning world, you know, some of our products go up to 40,000, you know, PSI, which is, you know, extremely dangerous, and it doesn't have to go up that high for someone to be hit by a jet of water at that speed to be lethal. So what we do is we create, you know, a better products for the cleaning, but also safe instruments and devices that help remove the person from the tool and keep them at a distance, so that if there is an error, you know, they're not in harm's way. And that's, you know, an important thing in the industry that's, you know, it's growing worldwide as well. That's pretty cool.
That's great. Kelsey from the marketing voice, just a little bit more insight as well. That was helpful, Mike. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, that was a fantastic overview. I totally agree with that. And then I would say that we have, like, from a marketing standpoint, Bill and Mike don't typically work with this other company, but we have acquired a company called Breadware, which does Internet of Things connected devices. And so that's an incredible move on Stone Age's part, because now we're trying to make it even more automatic and less harmful, and using analytics when we're doing these cleaning, you know, this high pressure cleaning and trying to keep people safe while doing it. So that's pretty cool. And we acquired them in 2020. And just recently we acquired a IoT software company, Medium One, to accompany Breadware. So that's right. And it's pretty innovative. KP has such a visionary in that respect of just wanting to move our industry into, like, the new age in some ways, right? And then Warthog, which is like a smaller company of Stone Age, and it's just specifically focused on municipalities and plumber and drain cleaners. As you said, they're kind of like the unsung hero, especially when it came to the disastrous COVID toilet paper situation that we had a few years ago. So
yeah, I just want to give you all a chance to talk about, you know, a little bit more. Industrial cleaning doesn't usually sort of lead the headlines, and the economy wouldn't run without it, and you play such a critical part. Bill, do you want to add any insights on Stone Age and what you do and what you focus on just as a company?
Yeah, I guess what I do and what I build, what I make is stuff that supports the tool, holds the tool, and keeps it away from the operator. You know, instead of the operator holding the tool, this device that I'm going to build is going to hold the tool and let it do the work and keep the operator back at a safe distance. And that, you know, to me, that's important, because I've seen, you know, we've seen in safety videos and stuff like that, some of the things that happen when these tools go awry with people holding, you know, a handheld shotgun tool. Yeah. And it's pretty devastating. So to know we're doing something to keep that operator back at a safe distance, that makes me feel pretty good.
That's great. Yeah, I heard Kerry, your CEO, lightheartedly refer to some of your products as squirt guns on steroids. And if it helps, because Hypotherm is a growing player in water jet cutting. So if it helps for perspective for listeners, 40,000 PSI is a pretty great cutting pressure. So you're talking about Stone Age, the idea of having tools that are doing cleaning at that level of pressure is just absolutely wild. So you're clearly a safety first, safety focused. That's really interesting to have learned more about your company and what you're doing, because that is pressure that you can cut thick steel beams, stone, you know, all kinds of materials. And you're using that with as part of your suite with the products with cleaning, which is really cool.
We're also providing training as a solution, as a product of Stone Age. In the next year, we're going to be rolling out a training program just to add to thought leadership of like making sure that people understand how to use the tools or understanding how to stay safe. So that's a really exciting add-on that we're going to have here in the next couple months.
That's great. We'll be cheering you on with that. That's great. I think all of you mentioned that you need some more employees. Bill, you said you were wearing many hats out in the shop until you can get some co-owners to join you. So what I want to do is kind of the last push for you is the floor is yours. You are talking to somebody thinking of working at this cool, growing, innovative company, Stone Age. Why should they come and work with you, Bill? Pitch it to them.
You know, unlike some other jobs that I've had, you know, where you were just basically a number, you were just a number plugged into the system, here you're a piece of it. You know, you're a part of it. People here care, you know, everybody cares about you and your well-being. I mean, from, like I said, from our founders, John and Jerry on down, they truly care about people. You know, we have so many benefits here. You know, I could go on forever just naming the benefits. The flexible work schedules, the incentive plans, you know, we have a wellness rewards program that pays you for exercising, for staying healthy. And that's been a game changer for me. I mean, that's helped me out so much in what I do outside of work. So that would be my pitch is, you know, come work for a great team. You're going to get help. You're going to get support, and you're going to work for a company that truly cares about its people.
Wonderful. Thank you. Kelsey, can you add, trying to get some more co-owners to join your company? Why should they come work with you all at Stone Age?
That was a really great by Bill. But I think, I mean, yeah, he nailed it. The benefits are incredible. I think the acknowledgement is incredible by team leaders and coworkers. It's not a day goes by that someone's not thanking you for something you've done, which you don't get in a lot of jobs. And then I think just like having personal relationships with your coworkers in a way that makes you want to come to work is just one of the biggest reasons I love this job so much.
That's great. Mike, tough acts to follow. Can you add some things?
Yeah, I mean, besides the great, you know, people and culture that work here and the incredible benefits, you know, anyone that is ambitious or interested in learning a new task, there is no ceiling at Stone Age for you to grow and be successful. You know, there's really an endless amount of options for you to come and grow at Stone Age, and then also leave your mark on the company. If you, you know, every insight that you have is something unique to you that you can bring to the table, and you can see the change that you want in a company. You can really make a difference here and in your day-to-day work. So
that's great. Well, it comes through clear, loud and clear, the pride, the camaraderie, the passion that you have. You send a consistent message with different voices, different career stages, different roles. So it's great. So is there anything about ownership or Stone Age that we didn't talk about you'd like to contribute before we end our conversation today? There's something on mind that you wanted to say, or something that came up during the conversation that you want to go back to?
I think one thing I'd like to mention is just like, I think in being an employee owner, it's just different in the sense that you work harder. It really is. It's not like it's for someone who wants to be an owner, right? So It's not a bad thing, but I think it's something to consider is that, like, as an employee owner, you probably wear a bunch of hats and you're always working towards the best solution. And that is what sets you apart. But the benefits and, you know, the rewards are, you know, just equal with that. So that's part of being the employee owner.
Bill, do you want to lend any closing words?
Yeah, you know, going back to the camaraderie. You know, just, you know, the guys in the shop, you know, we're like brothers, you know, we're like family, and, you know, just, we will take care of each other like family. And it's a good feeling to work for a place like that. Yeah. It's been good. And, you know, getting to wear many hats. I enjoy that. You know, I like cross training. I like learning new things and working in different departments. And, you know, that's kind of one of my goals. I want to be able to work wherever I'm needed. So. But that's what employee ownership, I think, creates. It creates an environment like that.
I really appreciate your sharing that. And I think that's a similar theme that we hear from other employee owners, and just the camaraderie, the passion, the constant learning, improving, safety, profitability, all of those themes that you shared really well. So it's been a joy to meet all of you today, and appreciate your making the time in a hectic work life. And I really think you did a great job sharing for your other employee owners the best of Stone Age, and really enjoyed the time. So we'll look forward to watching you as you grow and innovate. And hopefully this conversation caught a few people in your neck of the woods that might now go apply and join you in your work and your ownership. So thank you very much again, Jesse Tyler from the Owner to Owner podcast for the EO Podcast Network. Thanks to all the listeners and all the owners out there. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Take care.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at EO Podcast Network. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.